In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. Today is the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And I just got a picture of myself many years ago when Bush was running for his second term. I was sitting by the tomb of Francis of Assisi, and I was praying to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to me. I never forget what he said. He said two things. There was a woman that I knew that was pregnant, and he told me that she would lose that baby. And then he said that she would have another baby and it would be a son. That's exactly what happened. And then he told me that Bush would be elected president. I tell you this because I was at St. Francis's tomb and I was praying with the rest of the people, just venerating the power of the cross, for Francis venerated the power of the cross. How did Francis start? Francis started as a very rich man. Oh, he was so rich. His father was a textile dealer, and Francis was born with a silver spoon in his mouth, and everything that he wanted, he got, and he knew how to speak French, and oh, it was wonderful. And then he goes to war, and as he goes to war, he is wounded. And that is the turning point of his life. As he is wounded, he comes to the experience that what is life all about? What is life all about? And he walks to, when he gets better, he walks to this church that's been kind of knocked down. Not kind of, but it was knocked down. It was San Damiano. And he was there, and looking at the crucifix, the Lord said to him, from the crucifix, "Francis, my church is in disrepair. Rebuild my church." Now, Francis, being a fundamentalist, you know, thought he was talking about San Damiano. So he started to rebuild San Damiano, and then several of his compatriots joined him, and it was wonderful, but that's not what the Lord was saying. My church, the body of Christ, is in disrepair. You are to rebuild my church. And exactly when he finally got the message, he sent his brothers out two by two to sing the praises of the divine king. He was the singer of the praises of the divine king. And he sent his brothers out singing, and that they would go and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Yes, that's exactly what he did. Francis said the only two books that our order needs is this: the cross, or the crucifix, and the Gospels. Well, I tell you, there aren't very many Franciscans like Francis today, and there aren't many priests like Paul and Peter today either. Neither am I like them. So I say today is the feast of St. Francis, but there would be no Francis without Claire. Claire was the second order that he founded, and what happened is that these were the women, the poor women, that would pray and fast for the gospel's sake. And the only reason Francis was so important in the world to change the world was that he had Claire, who, and with her sisters, would be praying and worshiping God, probably in silence. The poor Claire sisters are still around. I remember once I was having a very hard time. It was when I just came to Holy Rosary, and I was having a very difficult time. And I just took a ride to North Andover, and I remember stopping at a poor Claire monastery. And I remember going in, and I rang the bell, and there was a sister who I couldn't see. She was behind the wall, and she said, "Praise be Jesus Christ." And I said, "Hallelujah." And she said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "I'm a priest, and I'm losing my vocation." She says, "Go into the room. I will meet you there in a minute." So she got away from the wall, and she came with me into that room, and she assured me that she would pray, that she would pray, and that what I was going through would pass, and that God would make me a good priest. You know, I think of that sister today. I don't even know her name, but she was there praying for me when I was desperate. She was there praying for me when I didn't know there was an answer. Even though I knew Jesus, I had reached the end of my rope. I had reached the end of my rope. I was afraid that I was going into darkness rather than into the light. And she assured me, I will hold you up in prayer. I will continue to pray for you. You will beat this because God will beat this through you. Jesus will beat this through you. It's going to be all right. She didn't say much. She didn't preach to me. She only looked at me with those adoring eyes that she had adored Jesus with, and she said, everything's going to be fine, believe me. And you know what? She was absolutely, absolutely right. I know another poor Claire. Her name is Sister Seraphim. The poor Claires are the second order of the Francis founded. And Sister Seraphim is another saint. She's in her 80s now, and she's in Florida now, Fort Myers, Florida. And you know, when I ask Seraphim to pray for me, things begin to change in a day or two, because she shakes heaven with her prayers. Honest to Pete, she shakes heaven. So today is a feast of St. Francis, and we cannot have Francis without Claire, and we cannot have Claire without Francis. They had a spiritual relationship that God used them both to, what was the mission? My church is in disrepair. Go and rebuild my church. Does it sound familiar? I tell you, the church of God is in disrepair today. You know, it's business as usual. We need Francis times 1,000 to rebuild the church today. We need Francis times 10,000 to rebuild the church today, because so much of the church has been about business rather than about saving souls, rather than about saving people, rather than about preaching the gospel, rather than about doing the ministry of love, the ministry of faith. So Francis, pray for us today. Pray for us today, because the church is in disrepair, and you are in heaven, and you understand what that means, because it was your call to rebuild the church that was in disrepair, and you did it. And today I ask you to raise up Franciscans, raise up the poor Claire sisters, raise up all those people who love Francis and who are under his title. I pray that they would become just like Francis, that they would be sold out to the gospel, that they would love Jesus Christ the way Francis did. One more thing about Francis. You know, when a new person came into the order, he would go to the new person and sit at his feet and tell him, I want you to tell me all about the Jesus that you love. I want you to tell me all about the Jesus that you love. And here was this, you know, neophyte, this new person sitting in front of a saint, and the saint would listen and listen with delight about the Jesus that this new person that entered the order loved. It was wonderful. Francis, there's no one like Francis. No one like Francis. We know that Francis received the stigmata, but we also know that one of his brothers wanted to see how he prayed in the middle of the night. So he woke up, and Francis wasn't sleeping. He was on his knees and his face shining like the sun. And the only thing he was saying is, my God and my all. My God and my all. My God and my all. Francis, pray for us. Pray for us who are much weaker than you. Pray for us that we would rebuild the church. Jesus, raise up men, women, and children to rebuild the church of God, that it would be known as a church that is sacramental, evangelical, and filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm looking at Luke 8 today. I should say Luke 7 today. And starting with the 36th verse, one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down for the meal. We remember the Pharisees saying to him, you know, your people don't wash their hands before they eat. You know, they were picking at Jesus, you know. They were into the law, into proper etiquette and stuff like that. But the Pharisee invited Jesus to eat with him. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at dinner in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. Now, this is amazing. This is a woman who is a sinner. She finds out that Jesus is in the house of the Pharisee, and she just runs in. She runs in and sits behind Jesus. She doesn't care about what anybody is saying. She is a sinner, probably a woman of the streets. She is a sinner, and everybody knows who she is. But she is drawn to Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. He said that the poor or the healthy did not need a physician, that the sick needed a physician. So here we have this sick woman, sick with sin, who comes and sits at the feet of Jesus. And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at dinner in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with her tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head. And she kissed the feet and anointed them with ointment. There was only one way to get into this alabaster box. You had to break it, and you had to use it all on Jesus. It wasn't some kind of a bottle that you can use a couple of dabs on Jesus and take it home with you. What happened is that she broke the alabaster box, and she used all this ointment, all this expensive ointment on Jesus. She's kissing his feet. She's wiping the feet of Jesus with her hair. What do you think the Pharisee is thinking? You know, he's so a law doer. He is into the law, and this woman is right at the feet of Jesus. What do you think he's thinking? How can he allow a woman of the street to come and minister to him like this? This is a disgrace. I am ashamed that I even invited this man. I thought he was a holy man. Not a holy man. He's got this woman at his feet. She's kissing his feet. She's washing the feet with the ointment and her tears. And she's wiping them with her hair. This is disgraceful. You know, that's what's happening in the Pharisee's mind. You know? Now, when the Pharisee, which had hidden, saw it, he spoke within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner." And she's making him unclean. I told you, this Pharisee is thinking all these terrible things, you know. I thought he was a prophet. I thought he was a holy man. I thought that he was a righteous man. I thought that he did miracles. Look who's at his feet. You know, I'm going to ask you this question. I wonder how many of us would allow a woman like this to wash our feet if we had the bishop there in front of us. I wonder how many of us would allow a woman like this to wash our feet and to minister to us if we had the church council in front of us. I wonder what we would have done. Would we have pulled back our feet? I think we would. I don't think we would allow a woman like this to wash our feet in the presence of the parish council, in the presence of the bishop, in the presence of a group of priests. You know, we would say, "No, you're not going to wash my feet." But Jesus allowed her to minister to him just the way she was and just the way she wanted to. But the Pharisee's thinking all these terrible things. And Jesus answering the Pharisee, even though it wasn't out loud, he knew what he was thinking. "I have somewhat to say to you." And the Pharisee says, Master, say it. Yeah, see, he's kind of pretending. Master, say it. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence and the other 50 pence. It's really 500 denarii, and the other owed 50 denarii. One denarii is what you worked for a whole day from sunrise to sunset. So one owed 50 and one owed 500. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. And he told them, therefore, which of them will love him the most? And Simon the Pharisee answered and said, I suppose he who was forgiven most. And he said unto Simon, you have spoken rightly. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet. She has washed my feet with her tears. She has wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head you did not anoint with oil, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she who has loved much is forgiven much. But to those who are forgiven little, they love little. And Jesus said unto the woman, your sins are forgiven. My. Now the Pharisees thinking. And they that sat at dinner with him began to say within themselves, who is this who forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. You see, Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. He didn't come to seek the righteous. As a matter of fact, no one is righteous, not one. When he talks about a sin, you know, one owed 50 denarii, the other owed 500, I want to tell you that each one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I want to tell you that each one of us have made a complete offense against God. The law is whole, and when you break one of the law, one of the statutes of the law, you break the whole law. It's like a Ming vase. A Ming vase is whole. One chip in that Ming vase that won't be worth anything. So we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And there's no one better than us, and there's no one worse than us. I want to tell you that. There's no one better than me, and there's no one worse than me. Now compare yourself to me. There's no one better than you, and there's no one worse than you. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the gift of God is salvation and forgiveness of sins through the blood of the Lamb. So, you know, you might say, you know, Father Tom, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. You've broken the whole law. And you know what? I've sinned and broken the whole law. Both of us have broken the whole law. And now the Lord wants to forgive us because he shed his blood for us. He died on the cross for us. He wants to forgive you. You know, that's what he wants to do. But you need to be humble to receive that forgiveness. You need to be humble to receive that forgiveness. You know, you can't be thinking, you know, my sins are so great that God can't forgive me. If that were true, then you must be God. If your sins are so great that Jesus Christ cannot forgive you, that would make you more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Don't flatter yourself. You are not more powerful than the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins is nothing as compared to his forgiveness. Your darkness is nothing as compared to his light. Your evil is nothing as compared to the blood that he shed for you. I'm telling you point blank. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the gift of God is Jesus Christ, who gave his life for us on the cross, who was buried and who rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And he is the forgiver of our sins. That's why we have the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of confession. when Catherine of Siena was going to confession, she would say, I'm going under the blood. I'm going under the blood. We admit to the Lord and to somebody else that we have sinned, and we be as specific as we can be. And we say, you know, I come for mercy because I am a sinner. I come for mercy because Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. I'll never forget the priest I went to many years ago. I don't know what I told him, but I told him something, and he said, you're a priest. You should have known better. And I said to the priest, Father, that's why I'm here. I didn't know better. I didn't know better. You know, I came here because I need to be here. I didn't know better. I should have known better, but you know what? I didn't know better, and I came for forgiveness from Jesus Christ and from the church, and I received that forgiveness. I hope that priest was taught a lesson that you don't tell people who come to confession you should have known better, because you know what? That's what sin is all about. We should have known better, but we desired something else. We plugged into something else. We went another way. We should have known better, but we didn't know better. We were stupid. We wanted to do the right thing, but the flesh was craving after something else. And it doesn't always have to be sexual. It doesn't always have to be sexual. It could just be the flesh is craving to be right all the time, or the flesh is craving to be on top of the heap with all the power that I need and all the power that I deserve. The flesh is very, very, very difficult to beat, because the only thing you can do with the flesh, because the flesh will die. And when I talk about flesh, I'm not talking about your skin. I'm talking about sarks. I'm talking about that power within us that wants to sin and that cannot do right. It must be crucified. That's what St. Paul says. He says, I've crucified the flesh. I've crucified the flesh and all the desires of the flesh. So I'm telling you, if you think that you cannot be forgiven, I'm saying that's a lie from the pit of hell. This woman was a woman of the streets, and the Lord only knows that she left forgiven and she left to be a saint. We don't know if she was Mary Magdalene or not. I don't know who she was. We just know she was a woman of the streets, and everyone knew that she was a sinner. But you know what? Jesus allowed her to minister to him. Jesus allowed her to do what she needed to do. Jesus did not care about what Simon the leper was thinking. Jesus just allowed her to do what she wanted to do. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you right now would touch sinners, and that you right now would shed your mercy upon them, and they would be drawn to the sacrament of penance. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, for those who have had abortions, thinking that they cannot be forgiven. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, that you would forgive them, and that they would be drawn to penance, the sacrament, and that they would experience the forgiveness. Oh, Lord, I pray for those who have sinned, who have been sinned against when they were a little children. They were manipulated. They were sinned against sexually. I pray, God, you'd give them forgiveness. Forgiveness toward their perpetrator, that they would forgive their perpetrator, that they would move on with their life, because you know what? As long as they hold it, they're going to be impotent. They're going to be impotent. So I pray, God, that those who have been sinned against would be received the gift to forgive those men and women who have sinned against them. I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, and that you would give us repentant hearts, hearts that turn away from sin, and hearts that turn to you. I pray, Lord, that you would do this immediately, because you love your people. I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time. I need to hear from people so that we can pay our bills. And the mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. If you would like, you could go to PayPal. on www.inseason.net and leave a donation on PayPal. That would be a wonderful thing to do. Or, if you're not into the computer, just mail me whatever you can. Again, I don't tell people how much to mail me. You know what our Blessed Mother said at the wedding at Cana? You do whatever he tells you to do. You ask him, do you want me to support this in season and out of season? I listen every day. I listen every day. Do you want me to support this, and how do you want me to support this? And no donation is too small. The mailing address is In Season and Out of Season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's In Season and Out of Season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Lord, we pray today for the Poor Clare sisters who are behind the walls, who pray for us day and night. We pray for them, especially those that are in darkness now and they are not experiencing your love. We pray for them right now that you would open up an avenue of glory in their lives, that their faces would shine with glory as they seek the face of the living God. We pray for Franciscans throughout the world. We pray for Third Order Franciscans who try to live like Francis. I pray for the First Order of the men and the Third Order of the lay people, that you would raise up these people to be lights in a world that knows no light, lights in a world that's filled with darkness. Lord Jesus Christ, please, through the power of your Spirit, renew the Franciscan orders, renew the diocesan orders, renew every order and every group of people who come in your name. Only you can do this, Lord. Only you know how to change us. And it's done not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit. I ask for the Holy Spirit to be given to us in a magnificent way, that the Spirit of God would come upon us in a magnificent way. O Jesus Christ, take not your Spirit from us. We are in absolute need of the Spirit. Transform us by the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.